Here we go. Welcome, everybody. This is BNB Weekly, episode 97, 3 until 100, and 103 until 200. It is 21st of September 2020. And in this show, we talk about the latest on the Microsoft 365 platform. So from the extensibility and also some of the non-extensibility stuff, absolutely are welcome to discuss. And typically, we do have... My name is Cesar Juvonen. I'm a program manager in the OneDrive SharePoint team. And with me as a co-host is Waldek Troy too.
Hi, everybody. My name is Waldek Mazdikas. I am head of product at Rancor. And as Vesa was already going into, like easing into, today we have a guest from the US, a fellow Office Apps and Services or Office Dev MVP?
Apps and Services.
Apps and Services. Fellow PNP team member, PNP JS maintainer, Simpraxis consultant. What have I missed, Julie?
You got it. I don't even have to introduce myself. That was amazing.
Julie Turner. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you. Thank you, Essa. I'm glad to be here.
Which immediately reminded me that I forgot about actually one of the discussion points in the articles, which was the learning pathways, by the way. Right. So, yes. But let's go there in a second. Let's edit this. No, we don't actually do that. Damn it.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, thank you, Julie, for joining us.
I hope everyone has pants on. Because there's no editing.
Keep it pro.
Okay. So, Julie, can you do a quick intro on your side?
Sure.
Well, they did a pretty impressive list of things.
I was going to say, he apparently knows me better than I know myself, which is probably a good
horrifying
thing. So, Julie Turner, I am a partner / CTO with Simpraxis Consulting. My partner is Mark Anderson, and we have four other amazing consultants that work with us on the team. Emily Mancini, Derek Cash-Peterson, Gil Ronan, and Todd Clint. I almost forgot Todd Clint, and he's so unforgettable that that's kind of cray-cray. Anyway, and we're mostly in the eastern part of the United States, and Todd's in sort of the Midwest, so that's where we hang out. And we do lots of fun stuff about Microsoft 365.
So, yeah. One way of saying that.
What else do you say? Really?
Let's actually drill in slightly there. So, what does Simpraxis Consulting actually do? So, when would people call you?
Well, we cover the gamut of Microsoft 365. So, there's each one of us that work on the team sort of have an area of expertise. And Mark likes to correct me because this is absolutely improper English, but I sort of say that we're Venn diagrams of each other. We all have skill sets and they overlap in a lot of ways, but we each have sort of unique, you know, I tend to be the more hardcore dev tech person, where Emily is like an amazing user experience designer, information architecture. She overlaps, you know, Mark that way. Todd is sort of that admin piece, you know, that kind of side of things, PowerShell scripting, that stuff. Mike is on a recovering accountant. He likes to tell everybody, great project management, business process management, that type of stuff. Derek Cash-Peterson does a lot of dev at sort of my level, but also is a great designer. So we just get a lot of overlap and pretty much just help our clients, you know, get their Microsoft 365 environment up and running as smoothly as we possibly can and try to give the best advice we can. And try to be really involved in the community. I mean, I think that's one of the primary things that we as Simpraxis have as our manifesto, that we want to be involved in the community and to help other community members, learn and be strong and get what they can out of this platform, because it's a great community and it's a great community to be part of. And that's why we all participate in the PMP as much as we can and share the successes of our fellow community members.
Now, on that one, actually, that's a really good point as well. So, like you said, Marcus, as an example, leading the Microsoft 365 community docs, and there's a great movement and growing interest on that one. But why is the community beneficial for you? Why is it something where Simpraxis actually want to be involved? Why would the other companies should be looking into getting their employees more involved? What's the objective?
Well, I think the objective is we learn, we learn a lot about what's happening. I mean, so yes, we give to the community by sharing the knowledge that we, you know, have accumulated, but we also then learn from the community about what their issues are and what the things that they need solved are and the things that are not working for them. And as MVPs, that's really powerful because part of our so three of the six Sympraxians are MVPs, and being able to bring that back to Microsoft and make sure that we're helping foster a better product means that it's easier for us to implement great results for our customers. So, you know, it's not completely altruistic in the sense that the more we know and the more we can influence the Microsoft 365 platform to be better, the better we can implement solutions for our customers and the happier they are with us, and therefore they'll come back to us. I mean, we definitely, our customer model is definitely one about providing great value and hoping that the customer sees and gets that value and then comes back to us. And the way we foster that great value is to make sure that we're listening to the community, finding out what's working, what's not working, help people solve problems, and then bring that experience back to the Microsoft team to hopefully make a better product. And being part of the PNP absolutely helps foster the product being used in a better way so that there's successes instead of frustrations with the product. Because nobody, and we like to say this all the time, but no one can know that whole platform. It's not even the six of us together with our combined knowledge do not know that whole platform. And we know we don't know it. So we need to make sure we're listening to the community members that have expertise in other things. Power BI isn't our strongest suit. We can do it, but we're not experts like Laura Rogers or Jason Himmelstein, John White, you know, those people, for as just an example. Like, those people know those products better than we do, and we can learn from them, and so can then everybody else. So that's, you know, a good reason why just being part of the community as a consultancy, especially. I think if you're a consultancy and you are not contributing to the community, you're not getting the best that you could get out of your products.
There's the networking piece and all of that. Sorry, Valde.
Absolutely, networking piece too, for sure.
What was your first step towards, I think you became MVP first and then set foot in PNP, right? What was your first step towards community work?
I would say using it first and foremost. I mean, it's a little, that sounds kind of silly, but if you don't use those things, you don't know the breadth of the products that are available. And, you know, we've been doing, as you know, we're all part of this team, so we know what we've been doing, but I was part of the PNP team sort of later, but before we really expanded recently. And that expansion has brought so much cohesion to some of the things that as that smaller group, we just couldn't get to, right? Like the new landing page for PNP, for instance, the ability, I mean, we all know what everything is, but when you're
not really, to be honest, like at this point, it's already we're getting to the point where it's so much that even for us, I think internally, it's fair to say that it's getting a lot, like especially to even track, right?
Exactly. And the ability to like have that one space to say, okay, here's all the breadth of what PNP covers. It's so extensive. And we have work to do. I mean, we for sure have work to do because I think we're used to calling things certain ways. And then you're like, but somebody else used a different term for that same thing. And we know it's the same thing, but other people might not know it's the same thing. And so it's first and foremost, just maybe listening to a few calls. If you can make the time in your schedule to come to one of our community calls on the Tuesdays and Thursday mornings, you know, and listen in on what's happening just to sort of get, oh, hey, wow, they're doing that. Demos are that the community members provide give a lot of information. Hey, the art of the possible. What could you do? Oh, wow. I had no idea we could build a bot in Teams, or that the CSOM library is now available in .NET Standard, .NET Core. Like none of, you know, those little bits and pieces that come out of that, that you're like, hey, I just heard about this. You know, we were joking earlier about Twitter. You can't learn everything through social media. So you need you need to have these channels of focused information where you can find out what's going on. So start by using the products and then say, hey, this is something I do. And, you know, like, let's say you're doing SharePoint framework development and you've seen PNPJS as an example, and you're like, wow, this product, this tool, this library makes my life so much easier because it makes it so much easier for me to know how to make my queries to SharePoint. So, hey, if I'm using it a lot, maybe I see something that's not so perfect or documentation that needs to be updated. A simple, you know, not for nothing, but the PMPJS library is like an elegant mind inside of it. It's really, you know, well designed and developed, but it takes a while.
It is.
To get your mind wrapped around how it works and how to augment it and how to extend it. So, you know, great. That's okay then. If you feel intimidated by the code base and don't feel like you could extend the code base or add to it, it's too much for you. Hey, contribute to our docs. Mind-blowing help to be like, hey, somebody put in a new sample, because what I'm seeing as I'm answering questions and I'm like, well, yeah, that's in our... Oh, it's not in our docs. Yep. Sorry. We'll get to that.
It's going to be good feedback.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, yeah.
Now, Julie, can you do our marketing in the future? Because your explanation is actually pretty awesome. on the value of the thinking behind of the bigger picture. So
I think we can help out. We'll talk.
Yeah.
So cool. I think that's the power of it. And, you know, just to sum up, like, I hope that other organizations that have, you know, senior dev people, especially, they can be leaders inside of their own organization. I mean, there's benefit to the organization as a whole. If your senior devs or your senior members of your organization are contributing and taking part in the PNP, they are going to have more that they can bring your junior people up with, because they know the exact right ways to do stuff based on the platform, not necessarily, you know.
And then growing with the contributions, you can easily grow to be an MVP. And with an MVP, well, the contributions, you get to grow to be in the PMP team potentially, and then you get to be an MVP. And with MVP, you get more access on Microsoft and all of that stuff. So it's all about one step at a time kind of getting them.
Yeah, and it's not like an overnight thing. So, you know, you have to understand, it's like you have to want to do it. Like, if you're going to, that's the only other thing. You have to honestly, from your heart, want to be part of the community. Like, I don't think there's this path like, oh, well, I'm just going to throw some stuff out there and then I should just be an MVP. If you're doing it to be an MVP, then you're not doing it probably for the right reasons either. Yeah. I mean, those are rewards that you might get, but don't do it for that reason. Do it because you want to get and give knowledge, not because you expect something in return. I think that's also a good message.
The one thing you mentioned is that one of the benefits to be a part of PNP is learning to do the things the right way. What is the benefit for both the customer and the company with whom you work of doing things the right way? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we can get duct tape, put things together and get things done.
So let me say this. Like, one of the things Mark and I joked about early when it was just him and I at Simpraxis is we never say best practices. We always try to say better practices. So when I say the right way, I say...
I understand your point,
So I'm going to answer your question. So based on my ability to talk with internal Microsoft people and the team of people who work closely with these libraries that are available, we can give the community the best possible, at this time and place, the best possible solution to implement certain things for longevity, right? Like, you don't want to have to rewrite something in 6 months just because the ecosystem has changed out from under you and you didn't sort of see it coming. So we try, I think, as a PMP team to make the best decisions we can about how we share information with the community so that they're supported as long as we can support them. Because let's be honest, change is going to happen. Change is going to happen for everybody. And you're going to have to change, but hopefully we can mitigate and make that as small as possible by, you know, future-proofing our solutions as best as possible. And so I think we give that to the community as best as we can. Yeah. I mean, that's my take on it.
Yeah, that absolutely
it makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. And then obviously, if you think about those components and everything else, it's really around making also the developers more productive, right? So because then you don't have to think about complex scenarios, and behind the scenes, there's a lot of stuff happening, but you'll just hit one endpoint and all of that. Now, should Microsoft have that similar kind of abstraction? That's a really interesting discussion point, because there are obviously Microsoft supported libraries and Microsoft SDKs, but then there's the BMP SDKs. And what's the value of this open source SDKs versus the official stuff coming from Microsoft? Is that a too hard topic?
Wow.
No, I think the answer to that is easy, right? I mean, if you ask me, right, imagine there are 40 hours in a week, and there are so many people at Microsoft who can build things.
Yeah.
And they can spend their times only once, right? So they either build an SDK, which anybody can do as long as these APIs are available externally, publicly, or they build product, which only they can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, thinking along these lines, the choice is already made. I would personally prefer Microsoft to build only things you can do as an advanced product, and expose APIs that we can then use to build SDKs and whatever else we need. Sure, it's easy to have an SDK available, but if it's not because you chose to spend your time on advancing the product, then I personally would be perfectly fine with the choice, as long as there's community of people who will fill this gap of building an
Microsoft
SDK.
Microsoft people get the real-world experiences
and,
as well.
Yeah. And go one step farther in to say that Microsoft, the building of the product, like the gaps in APIs that sometimes happen because they're sort of the second thing that happened, you know, that they'll develop an MVP of a product and the APIs will sort of be behind that. If they focused more on filling those gaps and left the SDK development to the community, in my personal opinion, that would help us tremendously, because I think the SDK development can really target how they're going to be used in the community members, the PMP team, and then its community around that, much more understand how we are going to then use those APIs to extend the platform and bring more adoption to the platform. And the internal Microsoft people can only imagine what they've built the product to do and what those APIs need to be. And I think it's a miss from a resource. I mean, Microsoft has finite resources. I don't think that they should spend as much effort on those types of tooling when the community can support them for that type of tooling. That is, and as an outsider from Microsoft, my personal opinion. So,
I think that there is that this is possible because community is here, right? So imagine you're building a product as a vendor and you don't have a community, well, then all of the work is on you. You need to do it because if you will not do it, it will not be done. This is not the case for this, let's say, ODSPN teams, at least. There is community who is vibrant and active and builds tons of things, from SDKs to samples to even docs, right? Yeah. This community is there. So why not use that for exactly that? I think at that stage, there is no doubt that this community is there to stay.
Yeah.
So why not to use it for this purpose and get the time back to work on other things like fill API gaps, than just try to do everything in-house, because otherwise, like, you kind of have, you have SDK that isn't supported. Well, what does it even mean, right?
Yeah, or fill platform bugs even, you know, like you've had platform, offense, but we've got platform bugs that have been there forever. Yeah. Like, come on, people, let's focus.
But coming back on that was actually interesting, Waldek, what you were saying, because that drives the community stickiness, so to say, right? Because the community is actively involved and co-creating the capabilities. So rather than just given the stuff and told to be using something, but actually actively contributing and being part of the design model. So
here's the analogy. You both have kids. Getting your kids to eat something, if they helped you cook it, will they try it? Versus say, here, eat something, right?
Yeah.
This is the same analogy, absolutely the same. It's like, allow your community to contribute to that. They will take pride of ownership in that contribution and therefore by use it more. Instead of just saying, here's your dinner, kid, eat it. I don't want carrots today, you know.
Or broccoli, but anyway.
Yeah. Like, yes, I hear you, and yet you will eat it.
Well, you know,
Otherwise, you'll be hungry. So
yeah, but that's like, see, and then to take the analogy one step further, your company that you work for is like, but I'll give you dessert if you eat your broccoli, and so then they use it anyway, but they don't have the passion for it.
Fair point. Should we actually do the articles at this point and then come back on the this is a good discussion,
so we're
talking
by the about way. Kids, vegetables, dinner.
Exactly.
I look out, my kid loves vegetables.
Diet.
So
here's my diet. This is the show where you learn it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course you do. Now, let me share my screen and let's actually do some articles and updates. It is Ignite week, but we're not going to New Orleans, unfortunately. Would have been nice to be. I've never been there. And I, no. Anyway, so.
Let's hope we go back again when we can really go back and enjoy the atmosphere of beautiful New Orleans.
I wasn't too disappointed on the Las Vegas thing getting canceled on spring because I just, it's not for me.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not a fan of Vegas myself.
Some people like it, some people don't, so it's all good. Yeah. Anyway, so Ignite week, so a lot of kind of pre-Ignite announcements and what's coming up and previews in the multiple channels. So Mark Cashman from the OneDrive SharePoint, it's the SharePoint OneDrive Planner Stream Visio Lists Cortex Marketing. I don't know what their name actually
is.
It's
Teams
is separate. Yes, Teams is separate. So, and then the dev is separate from a marketing perspective. But this is pretty impressive blog post from Mark related on all of the different sessions which are touching all of these things. And obviously Teams is one of our partners. So in Jeff's session, he talks about all of this stuff together with Teams, which is really cool as well. So all of the timelines, you can download the invites and reminders, all of that. Then there's a lot of content which is actually delivered as a YouTube videos rather than scheduled deliveries, which makes sense as well, because there's so
many. It makes sense, except it wasn't good, well communicated ahead of time. We were all in the MVP community before we sort of figured this out. We're looking at each other going, where's all the content? Oh, I get it now.
Now you know. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
So, but these are basically then redirecting to the location where the videos will be available, and then you can actually do it on demand, which is fine. So getting access on the information. We also have the project cortex stuff, there's employee engagement and intelligent intranet. So they're grouped in a different level, massive amount of full sessions. It's just tremendous. ID Pro Administrator Migration Developer Platform looped in here as well. And some of the sessions called out as an example, because I'm in the OneDrive SharePoint engineering. One of the things what we also do is a virtual boards, which is interesting. We'll see how it actually works out this time. But we have basically on Thursday, 8 a.m. Pacific time or 4 p.m. Pacific time, a two-hour slots where we actually have 10 people answering questions around the session, which is pretty cool. So you can just click the link and join the team session, and then we answer questions. We'll be video on and answering things. So obviously, if there's I have this technical development API thingy, ask. And I said, no, this isn't really the session, but trying to answer all of the questions which are coming in the same way like it was in the physical booths, because you never knew what the questions are which are coming in, right?
Yeah. It is always fun though.
Yeah, it is. So really cool stuff and massive list of things. The same actually applies then for the Microsoft Teams. So Microsoft Teams has their own blog post, own marketing basically, and then own blog post where they're listing all of the sessions. Obviously, this partly overlaps, and the Teams has a PDF, which is a downloadable for getting access things. So really cool stuff and a lot of content. It's just a lot of content. Now, what also is happening is that Caruana had a nice blog post around the virtual Microsoft Event Playbook and communities here. So basically a new location for setting up virtual events and guidances and all of this for the people in the community, how they can deliver virtual conferences. So similar kind of things like what we did with the BMP conference pretty recently, kind of ad hoc virtual event, and then explaining how to make those things happen. So really cool stuff from Caruana. Then this one is for the Microsoft 365 developer side of the house. Again, the same thing, testing all of or calling out the different things. What are we actually going to go through? What will be available in the virtual hub whenever that opens? And what are the sessions which are available there as well? So really cool list of things. Now, since we'll go live with this recording tomorrow, basically this is already out. So.
So in a way, we should have went live.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true.
Since then, anyway, it's fine.
Yeah,
we're all good.
So and there's some new stuff as well. So all of the Microsoft Graph Toolkit guidance have been updated. Microsoft Graph Toolkit, absolutely brilliant reusable controls, which are basically abstraction layer, again, on accessing data, in this case, related on Microsoft Graph. And there's a really nice set of different getting started guidances and tutorials. And we're, as an example, we're still ongoing having discussions on doing proper videos and all of that stuff for all of the tutorials, because I think those will be highly beneficial. Ignite kind of eats up all of the availability on the time right now. This one we wanted to actually talk about. We didn't talk about your role, Julie, on the learning pathways. Can you quickly explain what's your role in the Microsoft Learning Pathways?
Yeah, I mean, I can say that about 2 years ago, I got approached to help develop the Learning Pathways solution. At the time, it was just myself, and I started working on the architecture and development of it and realized super quick that we needed a design expertise. And so I wrote Stefan Bauer, our PNP team member and design man extraordinaire, into helping me. So he and I designed and built the technical piece of Learning Pathways over a couple of years. And we recently, this summer, actually GA'd version 4, which is a multilingual version of it that supports 9 languages. So we have that out there. And I think it's gained enough momentum at this point that some of the development efforts are moving in-house. But I'm sort of still kind of coaching, you know, providing insight to what enhancements might need to be be made. And so, yeah, so that was my role.
There has been, what's the latest on potentially maybe, who knows, maybe in open source? I think there's a discussion ongoing.
That discussion had been out there for quite a long time. We talked about open sourcing the content, and it seems like just the simplest thing ever. The problem, of course, is that because it's a Microsoft, it really is kind of a problem. We have to, the customers from Microsoft need to be able to trust the content, and there's different levels of ability to have that trust. And so this is something we had to think through significantly more than just saying, yep, we're going to throw the code out there and everybody can contribute to it. Yeah. So that has been an ongoing conversation for quite some time. And I think we are narrowing down all the legal issues and everything else to actually get to a point where we can open source the content of the web part itself.
Can you also quickly explain what is Learning Pathways? Why would people be interested on it? So let's assume that everybody knows. Again.
Right. No, probably not a good call. Yeah. So Learning Pathways is technically, it's a SharePoint framework extension deployed into your tenant app catalog that brings a admin experience as well as a consuming experience to your SharePoint tenant all up. And you have sort of this master learning pathway site where you administer the content, and then you put your viewing web part anywhere in your tenant that is appropriate. And what it does then is it loads a set of manifests from a PNP library that are managed by Microsoft, and the team that supports support.office.com and docs.microsoft.com curate a set of playlists for content like around the products, so like Teams and SharePoint and Office and Outlook and OneDrive and all of those products, plus just things like the modern workplace and scenario-based training type of assets, and then provides that through this viewing web part that you can curate as an administrator into your tenant. So it's a way to deliver learning right to your end users in the place that they need it, plus the ability to create your own learning content and sort of merge those two assets together.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. And you can easily actually get that one installed to your system just by going basically on the SharePoint Lookbook service, where we have linked to that. Where do we have a link?
And I have a good video linked on our GitHub repo. So there's a GitHub repo that's linked in there somewhere. I don't see it right off the top of my head. But anyway, if you go to the root README in our GitHub repo, I've linked to the PNP video that I did. That's an overview video for Learning Pathways. And that gives a great introduction on what the architecture is and how it works and some of the ways to customize it.
And it is, by the way, the most widely used third-party web part in the SharePoint Online. So
it is.
Pretty cool. And you can embed that in Microsoft Teams as well. Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can embed, can you embed that on Microsoft Teams already?
You can. You can. You need to be a little bit technical because you have to build your own manifest for it and load that into Teams. But Caruana has a sample of that manifest, and there's sort of, you know, more ways to go about it. But it is enabled for Teams app, like a Teams web part and a personal app. So you can do either of those things. Yep.
Cool. Excellent. Really cool stuff. Yep. Now, Waldeck, something new on the CLI side of the house?
Yes, correct. So we have, so the last week, we have actually two announcements. So one is, as you have visible now on the screen, we have new release. Also, over the last week, we've released two versions with new commands for Outlook messages, moving Outlook messages, listing messages, getting service messages from M365 wide. And then already like preparing for the upcoming features, working with Knowledge Hub sites. So that is one. And two, we are proud to invite on the team new maintainer, who is Mark Powney.
Yep.
So Mark is Valo evangelist from Australia. And he used to work on CLI in the past a lot. Then he had some other things that he did. And now he's back on the team. And now he will not only contribute to features and work, but also help us maintain the project. So welcome, big welcome to Mark.
Nice.
Yep. Excellent. Thanks, Walter. This is a CLI for Microsoft 365. It's an awesome example where we use the, let's say, the PMP thinking, and then that we scale by growing the team and adding additional people into the team, because that helps on, again, scaling, because scaling helps on being more efficient when we build stuff together. So really, really cool stuff. Welcome, Mark, by the way. Now, this one, implement, this is from Gary Trinder, implement Microsoft Graph app-only calls, the easy way using Azure Logic Apps and Azure Managed Identity. And I think, so this is a really good summary on Gary on this topic. I think he did a session on the PMP.
Correct.
EMP virtual conference around this one, and then this one is basically the written story on the demo and how it actually worked.
There's the video.
I actually published those videos, so I should remember this.
You should have known, yeah. Okay.
So you can't remember everything, Vanessa. You just can't.
And this one is our friend from Italy, and he's even smiling, so that's good. He's
poor Paolo.
It's a long-running joke.
This game, right?
But really, around the latest on the Microsoft Teams Graph API. So Microsoft Graph obviously is continuously, we are adding additional APIs on multiple products, and then on the Microsoft Teams site, the Microsoft Graph is the only API to get access to Microsoft Teams, and there's new stuff available all the time. So good summary on that, those. So these are really good videos, by the way. Less than 10 minutes typically, and just good summaries. Chris O'Brien had this one this Monday, actually. So really cool stuff. 5 ways to use artificial intelligence to supercharge your content in Microsoft 365. So adding tags, extra entities, so metadata, create searchable transcripts, so analyzing things, getting the content in and out. Translate documents, absolutely doable as well. Extract information from documents such as the invoices, contracts, and more. And this is basically, if we think about Project Cortex, that brings a lot of this stuff natively within a product as part of the Cortex capabilities. But then you can technically implement a lot of this stuff by yourself as well. So
cool.
Really cool stuff. Alex, how to identify whether SPFX XPart is running in a web browser or in Teams client? Quite important thing, actually. So understanding what is the user agent and when I'm being actually hosted in desktop or when I'm being hosted in our web browser. So detecting those things and differences. Now, you should never ever obviously hard code any of this stuff because it changes all the time, but trying to make those identifiers, because the version numbers change, but the identifiers don't.
So. Well, but I guess even then, you could argue that this should be exposed in one way or another in the SDK.
100% agree on that.
So that we don't need to fiddle with SP Team Web versus Teams Mobile Dash OS. No.
Absolutely, 100% agree on that. So now, this one is from Wonderlora. Flow matching a file name in a library. So walking through that process and how do we actually get that to happen in the Power Automate. So creating a flow and then automating stuff based on that. So really cool as well. And then the last one is from Mikhail, related on Microsoft Search versus BMP Modern Search. So Mikhail is nowadays a program manager in Microsoft, moved into Norway, Microsoft Search. And then he is one of the persons behind the BMP Modern Search web parts and design of that. But he is now leading also some of the efforts in the Microsoft Search. So it's kind of an interesting historical thing.
It's like these two things in search, and this is the one, this is the other. Here is versus one versus
now,
the other.
What's kind of cool, but if you think about Mikhail is a good example of a persona who actually started as a community member, then came to be an MVP, then started working on community open source, then moved to Microsoft to work on exactly the same topic. So
search,
which is actually pretty cool. So
And he even says that like he's been working on search for 20 years. There you go. And
he
and
looks tired. Actually,
like fall, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like fall asleep on a branch.
Yes.
Why, you might wonder. Well, yes, that is an interesting question.
I don't actually think that was him, but doesn't make one tired.
But still. That's a good one. Let me actually close. That's the articles today. Now, I know that Waldeck has a pretty fast close-up today, so we're unfortunately running out of time. Yeah, that's pretty. So what's happening this week?
Ignite.
Yeah, Ignite.
Nothing else is happening. Nothing else is happening. That's pretty much true. We had a really nice MVP Ignite preview sessions last week. There was the Microsoft Teams one on Monday, and then we did it on Wednesday, right? The ODSB and Search and Yammer and everything on Wednesday. Yep. I think both of them had like 300 MVPs joining, or 300, 400 MVPs joining and getting a sneak preview on what will be announced this week. So any good announcements? No, just kidding.
the thing is going to be really big. The one with
technically speaking, I think this would come out after the embargo anyway.
No,
but
actually it doesn't. No.
It doesn't? No? Yeah. Okay. No. Well, then, we I got nothing to say.
Yeah.
Time zones,
4 hours before the
time zones.
Yeah, well, then I got nothing to tell you. I got nothing.
Yeah, but there's some, let's put it this way, there's really cool features coming across the board, and there's a lot of end user capabilities, a lot of administrative capabilities, a lot of extensibility capabilities across all of the different areas. So,
which is worth attending.
Yes. Yeah.
Trying to find like a whole week to follow up on the 2-day events contents.
Yeah.
So there is a
for Mark's blog. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? So much.
Yeah.
Stuff.
It's like, so the event takes only 2 days, but there's like a month of content being made available, and it's like, yeah, enjoy the show. And you're like,
well, and it's kind of the worst part about not actually going, because as a person being home, you have that pull of work versus you know, learning this content. And when you take yourself to the conference and you're physically there, you are able to sort of check out and just mentally focus on the new stuff. When you're at home and you're trying to like absorb that content, I know I'm gonna fail like miserably. I'm gonna end up spending 3/4 of my day doing work and then try to like fit in one or two videos. So
there was maybe the approach we should take. I recall there was I think it was Mark Benioff, you know, the CEO of Salesforce, who had this approach. Like when he would go on holiday, he would pack the laptop and a phone and send to his another address. Like physically send it per mail. I cannot work. I don't have my gear. So basically, Julie, do exactly the same. Like for a week, send your laptop to, I don't know, to Mark or Todd. Oh, no, not to Todd.
The only problem is, how am I going to consume the content if I don't have a laptop?
That's
you can get like a really a non-specialized device.
Yeah, I think we have a catch-22 going on
Chrome.
Here.
No, Google Chrome. It is on YouTube. So you can use a stick in your TV. Go to YouTube, watch the videos there.
Sure.
No laptop.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, not all of the sessions will be in YouTube from a day one, though. So, because there are some of the sessions
like,
are being
by the time you watch
three times, three zones, yeah.
Then. So, yeah.
Okay.
But I think, as an example, Jeff Tepper has a awesome session going through the Microsoft Steam, Teams, OneDrive, SharePoint, all of that stuff in a one. Let's what does it 45
I've got that
minutes
in my
of 30 minutes? It's like. There's a lot of stuff getting covered, and Project Cortex and all of that is getting covered there. And then there's another one which is going through the Microsoft Teams. And then there's one which is going through Microsoft Teams, the platform stack, which is basically Gina and Mike Amelan covering that, so obviously with Microsoft Graph as the one side of the discussion, because, well, Graph is Graph. So getting access on Teams APIs and all of the other APIs. So there's a lot of stuff. But there's so many videos. Just a lot of videos, so but we'll see. We'll talk about all of those videos in next week's episode, right, Valdek? So no rush for watching them. So
yes, we will, so that you won't have to. No,
yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Thank you.
Exactly. If only, right? If only.
Yeah, so like, I was gonna say I'm supposed to be doing a session on a wrap up where Sympraxis, at Sympraxis, not this week, but in two more weeks, is going to be doing a wrap-up. So I have to watch them all. I've got to find the time.
That's one way of forcing you to
Maybe we can delay our summary until we watch Julie's session.
I'm still two more weeks out. So, yeah, I'm not going to be able to help you.
We can wait. All right.
All right. Sure.
Cool. I think we need to stop the discussion because of the time as well. We don't want to make them too long as either. But thank you, Julie, for joining us on the discussion. And we definitely need to follow up on your marketing skills on how do you put the community and
we'll
the message.
We'll have a conversation. Teams. We'll use Teams.
We'll use Teams for that. Absolutely.
Awesome, guys. It was so great to be here today. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks for being here. So thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll be back with the new PMP Weekly. Episode 98 is the next one. So we're heading closer to 100 all the time. So maybe we should actually start thinking of what do we do on that episode. So
I thought we already have.
Oh, we have a plan?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, cool.
Oops.
Oh, we actually
don't. That's
Again.
But cool. Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening if you're using the podcast option. And we'll be back with another one in a week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.